the godfather of cyberpunk anime. Does it still hold up? Or is it something that can be more fondly remembered by everything that has come since? We're going to talk all about it this week as we discuss the anime classic Ghost in the Shell this week on Shonen and Suds. Goody, I'm ready to get my pretty drunk. What's up, brother?
Oh, man. Chris, we are back. I am...
We are back.
Chris, I am pooped. I'm back from Texas. You know, we got Chicago next. It's just... My car's mileage is piling up, but, you know, something else that's piling up, Chris,
You've been a traveling fool.
That's right, and something else that's been piling up, Chris, is our anime here, Chris. We are back with another classic.
Oh, we are, man. I love it.
I am a tired boy from all this traveling, man.
You just need to get yourself an ice cold margarita on this 4th of July weekend, and then, you know, live your best life.
Yeah, Chris, it is 4th of July weekend. Pretty much. Like, I mean, it kind of bleeds a little bit into next week, too. Yeah, man, but it's the best holiday of them all. You know, it's my favorite. I think it's your favorite.
You know me, man. I like to channel my inner David Levinson and, you know, make sure we can save everybody from the imminent alien invasion that is coming our way.
That is right, Chris. I'm looking forward to the posts, you know.
they will be en route. You know they're coming.
I'm just excited. You know, I'm ready to watch Independence Day. I'm ready to celebrate Independence Day. But Chris, before we can get to all of that, we're back for another episode of Shonen and Suds.
Of course we are, and I am your host, Chris Adams.
And I am Cody Snodgrass.
And yeah, like we said, we're talking Ghost in the Shell, the 1995 classic. Cody, this movie's good. Like, let's just say what it is. This movie's good. But it's definitely a movie that is best remembered, I guess, for the time that it came out, right? Like, for lack of a better way to put it, I think I'm just more rambly here, but clearly so much in the cyberpunk space, in the pop culture science fiction space, has been just tremendously influenced by this just classic cyberpunk outing. What am I trying to say here, Cody? Because I think, you know, the animation was definitely, you know, the animation has definitely gotten better since then. I mean, that's a given. I don't want to sound like that's a critique on Ghost in the Shell, because it isn't.
Yeah, I think
the movie was definitely a showcase of that amazing anime that they were capable of in 1995.
Yeah, I think for 95, I mean, this was, and this is it. Like, this is, when it comes to animation, the story...
It's a little out there. So it's a little... poorly paced.
I think I just wanted a little bit more from the story. Like, at the end, like, I just wanted, like, I don't know. It just kind of ends, and then it kind of leaves it very open-ended, which obviously, like, you know, some things I'm okay with that doing, and other things I'm not. You know, I don't know. Like, maybe this, but the animation, you know, it makes up for a lot of that. Music, most of it is really good, Chris. I'm going to get to my gripes about the fucking 10-minute chanting song. You cannot ever put this movie on to fall asleep to. It is impossible.
Oh, that's right.
Chris, it's like trying to fall asleep to Totoro. Like, I remember one time I tried to take a nap while I just threw on Totoro in the background. And the girls in that, come out, wherever you are, they fucking say that. Like, when you're trying to sleep, they say it 28 times. When you watch the movie regularly, they say it, like, two times. It's like, what? There's no way. There's no way. but, yeah, this chanting song that happens during, like, the two interludes, I think it's two different songs. Yeah, no way. No way, Chris. I've never clicked the mute button so fast in my life. You know, it's just it's too loud. I don't know. It's just unfortunate. But the movie itself is great.
You were saying some old man shit. It's too loud,
dude. I swear to God, it's like And that's probably just an issue with, I mean, I've had that issue with a bunch of, like, the older shows we watch, like, you know, the audio, you know, leveling, I don't know what the word is that I'm trying to think of, but, like, it's gotten so much better these days. With the exception of Game of Thrones, because they whisper in that show.
Oh man! But God forbid the music kicks in or some swords start clamoring, because it just blows your fucking eardrums out.
Yeah, they'll be whispering in like a dungeon. You're like, what are they saying? And then boom, the loudest brothel scene you've ever heard in your life.
Oh my God! Fuck.
That actually is what it is. Yeah.
Turns out.
That's right. But yeah, I think the movie is good. It definitely, I don't know. It's fine. You know, for all the things that it inspired, like things like The Matrix.
It's just dated.
Things like Avatar. Like you said, a lot of these like sci-fi things that you kind of just are just like the norm in sci-fi movies and television. Like,
yes.
You can see that they clearly drew their inspiration from this.
Yes. Yeah, like, I figure most sci-fi, like, in the 90s just probably wouldn't exist if it weren't for, you know, Ghost in the Shell just kind of being what it was.
Yeah.
But, it's all right. It's a damn good one to have, and we're, you know, we're better, as a medium, anime is better for it existing, so.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely another one of those that kind of, like, I don't know, open people's eyes to animation from back then, I would
yes.
say. Now,
yeah, I saw Ghost in the Shell in theaters. But, I mean, this was probably about 3 or 4 years after it had already come out. This was like a second run through, like 1999 or 2000. It might have been 2001 actually when I saw it in theaters.
Chris, you had to hear the chant songs at the absolute loudest.
I did.
I'm glad that you've made a full recovery. And you're. No, but
I'll be all right. I will make it.
No, that's awesome, though. I mean, obviously, like, this movie is extremely iconic, and to be able to say you saw it in theaters, even if it was, like, you know, a second run-through, like, I think if it came back through for, you know, a 30th anniversary, which is actually coming
up. Oh, wow,
up,
the fact that's coming up. Yeah. Oh, boy.
Yep, yeah. yeah, if that happens, I'll probably go see it, just to experience.
You definitely should.
Just so I can see how loud the chanting songs can possibly get. It's a bit rough. But no,
it's making my throat like hurt trying to do it.
Yeah, but just to be able to see the animation on the big screen would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Chris, we're gonna dive into Ghost in the Shell in a bit. We got some news this week, Chris.
We got some news.
I guess we can start off with the first thing you sent me earlier in the week. This My Hero NBA crossover.
Yeah, that's funny. That means two things.
Yeah, I mean, do we have any, like, solid information, Chris? I saw it's, like, only, like, the big teams are involved with this crossover. Like, it's your Lakers, your Celtics, the Miami Heat.
Yeah, so basically what it is it's going to be NBA merchandise, like clothing, just apparel. I think it looks like the clothing companies, it's NBA Lab and Hyperfly. I guess that's I don't know if they do athletic wear, just like sportswear. The My Hero Academia characters, I don't know which ones, are going to be appearing on merchandise of 9 NBA teams, the Celtics, the Bulls, the Mavericks, the Warriors, the Lakers, the Heat, the Knicks, the Sixers, and the Blazers. So basically, and you'll be able to see, I guess at the upcoming NBA con, I guess even the fucking NBA has conventions in Las Vegas in July. You'll be able to, they'll have like a small selection of All Might t-shirts for the Bulls, the Warriors, the Lakers, and the Knicks.
Ooh.
Yeah. So that's kind of cool. I like the and I've seen like ESPN do like whenever they would talk about, like a few years ago, they would talk about like Tyler Hero had a monster game, and they would like Photoshop him with like Deku's outfit on. They would call him, you know, My Hero Academia. You know what I mean?
Oh wow, that's sick. Like that's actually super cool.
Yeah, they would do some shit like that. So like I assume My Hero is popular amongst the NBA crowd, which, I mean, it should be. I mean, basketball is my favorite sport. My Hero is one of my favorite animes. It's a match made in heaven, Cody.
Yeah, I'm excited. I might have to give me a Celtics Deku shirt or something.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, I'm eyeballing a Celtics shirt myself. I'm mad they don't have the Grizzlies on here. The Grizzlies are actually my favorite NBA team. Yeah, some controversy there, you know, the last year, 8 months or so, I guess. Or who knows, time is just a fucking illusion. But the Celtics are the next, you know, they're the next best thing, man. And I'm looking at the colors of the teams. I imagine the Celtics is going to be like Deku, right? The Bulls are probably going to be like Bakugo because of the red. The Lakers are going to be like All Might because of the yellow. Or Bakugo could be the Knicks because of the orange. Todoroki could be the Bulls because of the red. Asui could be the Mavericks because of the green. The Heat also red and black. Kirishima, oh, fuck. Oh, we get a Kirishima shirt for the Heat. That's what I'm doing, brother.
Yeah, I mean, you can call a truce, Chris, and you can get whatever shirt you want because there's anime.
That's right. That's right. Todoroki makes sense for the Sixers. I mean, man.
If they put one of the homies on a Heat shirt, I might have to cop it just because, you know, even though they eliminated my Celtics.
Put your boy Tokuyami on the Trailblazers.
I was gonna say they put Dark Shadow on there. I'm gonna have to pick it up.
Oh, man.
But yeah,
that's right. Also, a first ballot Hall of Famer of the side character Hall of Fame.
That's right.
First ballot.
Yeah, we got to figure out our how many side characters we're gonna allow each year. You know,
in that inaugural class, I think like five. I think five is a good number for a inaugural class of the Hall of Fame. And I think the first round is pretty easy. We should just do a special episode, Cody, of just basically treat it like the WWE Hall of Fame.
Well, that's basically what we're going to do, Chris. You know, I think this episode here is 153.
Mm-hmm.
Let me double check. I think we're going to, for one, what is it? 156. I don't know what the math is. I think it's 156 is our 3 year.
Okay.
3 years we've been doing this thing.
Yeah, hell yeah.
So we have Ghost in the Shell, our poll winner. Oh, that's good. We're doing a movie poll, which we'll get to that in a second.
Mm-hmm.
And then 156 will be the 3 year celebration. So
perfect.
We'll iron out all of the side character Hall of Fame there. And
exactly.
The weeks leading up, of course.
yeah, that'll be fun. That will be fun.
Yeah, definitely.
So I almost wonder if we should do like a couple of tiny polls and let people vote, or like maybe get like a fan's choice.
Oh, for the characters?
For just one.
Oh, for just one. We each pick two, and then
you and I agree on two, and let the fans pick one. Let the listeners, let Jamaica pick one.
All right. Exactly. Yeah. I gotta think of my two then. We'll talk about that next week. We'll figure out something. And then we'll have our top two picks each, and then we'll have our honorable mentions. We can each pick two, and they can go in the poll. And
absolutely,
whatever wins makes it, or whoever wins makes it, I should say.
That's right. I love it.
That sounds like a plan to me, Chris.
absolutely.
And then speaking of anime news, Chris, we also have Nier Automata, which we haven't talked about in a while. They had that big delay. They had multiple delays, actually. But it looks like they're coming back for the final three episodes. Or the final three episodes have just aired. Let's see here. Looks like July.
Season two?
No, still season one. We're still in season one.
Jeez. Oh my god.
I remember it got delayed after episode 4, or episode 4 got delayed, and then like...
So there was like a hiatus or something, right?
Yeah, I think it's from March until now.
Jesus Christ.
It looks like it was about a week ago is when the final three episodes aired, so it looks like all 12 episodes are now out. I don't know when these will dub, but obviously this is something we've kind of had our eyes on, but... Really, all we've talked about is the delays that happen with it, unfortunately. Yeah. But it looks like the entire season is now out. We're just waiting for it to dub, of course. But definitely something I will throw on a future poll.
Absolutely.
And then, Chris, it looks like we finally have some news. I got to scroll all the way to the top. It looks like Crunchyroll will begin streaming Jujutsu Kaisen's second season starting on July 6th. I was actually, me and the boys were just talking about this when we were in Texas. I was like, man, when is like season two coming out? Like, I feel like we heard about it when we heard about My Hero season 6, and that's come and gone. Like, that is, you know.
And it's come and gone quite fast.
Yeah, season 2 will premiere on July 6th for anybody looking forward to that. Obviously, we'll wait until it's all out before we dive in. Chris, I've heard good things, so you know, hopefully it picks up.
Yeah, like I'm not against Jujutsu Kaisen. They haven't shown me anything to make me not like it, but there's been nothing that's blown me away.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And then I believe. Want to say like 2 days later is when Bleach starts up again. I think Bleach starts back up on July 8th. So July will be a big month for premieres. That'll be the second course or the second part of Thousand Year Blood War, which I think is four parts.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. I think that's pretty much all the anime news I got. I think if there's anything else that I see here. Probably scrolling past some stuff that's semi-important, but, you know, we got through.
Hey, you know what? That's kind of how it goes.
We got through the most of it. There's something here that says Crunchyroll to stream 15 Dragon Ball anime films.
Oh.
I was like, Crunchyroll is just finally, are we finally going to merge with Funimation? Is that what this is saying? Like,
I mean, that's been, Cody, I feel like that was happening when you and I first started recording the podcast.
Yeah, like, Funimation's had all of these films for 10 years. Like what? This is not even news. But dude, I just want them to merge and be one, so I can just pay for one and not, you know, not have to, you know, pay for this when we want to watch that, or pay for this when we want to watch something else. Like, it's like, get all of the dubs on Crunchyroll, and then close Funimation forever, and never make another app. You know. But yeah, that's pretty much all the news for this week, Chris. Other than the 4th of July, man, you doing anything big for the 4th, Chris? Any big plans for the weekend?
Honestly, man, I'm working the whole weekend. Well,
everybody's working for the weekend.
Pretty much. That is literally me. And, you know, because, you know, I work for a ticket broker, so we're, you know, 24 hours, 7 days a week. I mean, I typically, my normal schedule is Sunday through Thursday, but we lost some people. So I volunteered, or was just like, hey, I'll help out with the Saturday rotation. You know what I mean? Like, I use the word work very loosely. I just sit at a computer screen and watch anime all day and might click a button on a mouse every once in a while. So I wouldn't really say what I do is work.
Chris, I'm in the wrong industry, I think, is what you're telling me.
Like, yeah, I wouldn't really say what I do is it's there can be times where I'm busy and doing things, you know, but only, you know, it's like office space. On any given day, I probably put in an actual, you know, maybe a good 4 solid hours of work, maybe.
Ain't nothing wrong with that, man. Nothing wrong with that at all. Unfortunately, you got to work the holiday weekend, but
yeah, it sucks. It's, you know, it's whatever. But, you know, it ain't heavy.
You'll just be watching Independence Day all weekend instead of...
Oh, pretty much. I'll have Independence Day, like, on my phone, or I'll just select a monitor and just put it... Because I have 4 monitors at my desk. I'm just going to be like, all right, I'll put one here and watch it while I...
Crank up the speakers for the president's speech, of course, you know?
Oh, all the time, dude. Well, the funny thing is, Cody, I'm literally going to be in the office pretty much by myself.
Oh, so you can have a... You'll be saluting the monitor just.
Oh, I'm gonna reenact the movie.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
I'm gonna get like a chair. I'm gonna put like a sport jacket on a chair and pretend that's the president.
Love that.
It'll be a great time.
Sounds like it, man. Yeah, I mean, I'll be driving to Chicago, and then depending, right. I'm just gonna drive up there and then drive back that night, and then hopefully I can make it in time for. you know, whatever late night festivities are going on, but
that's right.
Yeah.
Well, what'll happen? Hopefully you'll win, so it'll be a late but happy drive back.
That's right. I can drive back and just see the fireworks going off, and
that's right.
It'll be great.
That's right. It'll be like the end of the Power Rangers movie. You know,
that's the best ending in movie history, Chris.
Goddamn right it is. Goddamn right. You got to make sure that same song is playing.
Chris, that's my favorite song of all time. Don't you worry. That's Dreams by Van Halen. So.
Oh, perfect, perfect. There it is.
A little 5150. Tommy Oliver telling old boy that anything is possible. You know.
There it is.
That is peak fiction. You know, it goes Independence Day, President's Speech, and the ending of Power Rangers are fucking neck and neck for the greatest moments in movies.
Well, Cody, if there was any moment that could prepare you for the weekend, I think it's that.
I think it's
there
that.
It is.
Taking out Ivan Ooze and, you know.
Ivan Ooze and an alien invasion. That's how you do it. It's morphin' time. But, Cody, it's not just morphin' time here. It's like my throat's getting real dry. It's it is time to party. It is 6 p.m., Cody. I'm an hour past happy hour. So I need to know, and the folks at home need to know, what you drinking. Oh, good crack.
All right, Chris. Well, I have the remainders of that Twisted Tea party pack.
Yes.
So today I am enjoying a nice peach Twisted Tea. Unfortunately, the Rocket Pops, those were gone during last week's episode.
We just, I imagine they would be.
Yeah, so we just got the scraps left. And, you know, they're good scraps. I'm not hating on them. You know, the peach is probably one of the better flavors. But, yeah, I'm just enjoying a nice Twisted Tea peach on this 97-degree day, Chris. I don't know.
Nice. And that's a Canadian summer, isn't it? No, that's fucking hot.
I don't even... Oh, it just went up to 98. I'm sorry. How dare I? I made a mistake. 98 degrees. Pretty sure that's.
Oh my god.
Pretty sure that's a boy band. Also, correct.
That is. It's your favorite code. I know. For my money, when you get good and drunk, and you know you're in the bar karaoke, for my money, it doesn't get any better than when you start belting out "Invisible Man" to the stripper on stage two.
I'll have to learn the lyrics so I can get that one down, Chris.
There you go. Oh, you don't have to be coy with me, Cody. I know you know them, but it's not. You don't know them when you're sober. It's very much a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde type of situation. It's just when you get drunk, just the lyrics come to you, and you need to find a microphone and some gal to crone to very quickly.
That's true. Yeah, you know me all too well, Chris.
It's true.
Yeah, that's what I'm enjoying on this hot summer day, Chris. What about you? What are you drinking?
Well, Cody, I don't have a crack or a clink. My wife and I, we are enjoying frozen strawberry margaritas, my brother.
Nothing better than that.
Made from scratch. We bought some frozen strawberries. We got the mix. We got some nice salsa tequila. It's a mid lower, but if you're making margaritas, you do not want to waste good tequila on margaritas. And I use the word waste very loosely. You just don't want to spend $40 on a bottle of tequila just to fucking fill it with sugar and stuff. You just don't.
No, I completely agree, Chris. You don't want to make a Patron margarita. Like, it doesn't even...
No, what a waste. What a waste of liquor. You just drink that shit straight up, or maybe with like a squeeze of lime in it.
I mean, even the Chili's Presidente is still pretty lower shelf, if we're being honest.
Exactly.
But yeah, that sounds awfully refreshing, Chris. I should have... I'm missing out on frozen margaritas right now, clearly. This Twisted Tea is...
Yeah, you messed out.
You know, you take one drink and it's almost empty. It's like...
Oh, yes. And the margaritas are just going to keep refilling themselves. I don't know how it happens, but they just keep finding more in the blender.
Exactly.
It's
crazy. You know what, Chris? I did have some margaritas last night, so you know, I drank the good stuff too early. Well, I was, you know, we usually record on Thursdays. Today we're doing our special Friday episode.
That is true. It is the Friday edition here of Shonen and Suds.
Yeah, so if you guys are wondering why we're a day late, you know, sorry to let you guys down, all our Jamaican fans out there who are looking forward to this.
Yeah, I apologize.
That's right.
I blame myself. I blame myself. But Cody, let's go ahead and dive in. Let's go to the not too distant future of 2029. Here in Ghost in the Shell. You know, obviously we're talking. Just this is classic cyberpunk sci-fi. Like, close your eyes and picture just stock cyberpunk. Right? Do you see it? Can you picture it? Now just remove.
I see it.
Now just remove all of the neon lights. There, we are now in the world of Ghost in the Shell. We are in Newport City, I believe, is what this the city we've been dropped into, and effectively like a Neo Tokyo type of situation here. But you know, I don't want to get too ahead of myself. Go do a real quick tale of the tape. This movie was released November 18th, 1995, in Japan, and I don't believe it showed up in America until a few years later. Like, I don't know. I mean, I want to say it was quite a while. Yeah, I wish I had that number in front of me. Like, I remember seeing VHS copies in like I was like a sophomore in high school.
I got some I got some data here for you. Looks like
I love the data.
It looks like in the United States the film was released on VHS June 18th of 96.
Okay. So I was a freshman in high school, and I don't think I paid it any mind, but I remember finally seeing it on VHS in like Suncoast and at rental stores.
Yeah, I'm just looking at some of the numbers here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's an old boy, Chris. It's actually, you know, it's weird. Like when you watch this back then, like the film set in 2029, you probably expected flying cars and cool shit. Here we are.
Oh yeah.
You know.
Brother, well, go back and watch the original Blade Runner. That movie takes place in 2019.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tragedy when we start getting to these futuristic movies and, you know, we live in this world.
I ain't got my rocket boots. We aren't colonizing Mars. We're too fucking busy getting mad at people for wanting to be who they actually are. So that has stalled all progress of colonizing Mars and, you know, having the androids or seeing the stars out past what the belts of Orion or whatever, you know, but
exactly,
here we are.
It's depressing. But
here we are watching other people dance on our fucking phones or whatever. But anyway, I digress. So I digress, says the boomer. But anyway, so yeah. And the movie's, it's a short one. It's about an hour and a half, like 80 minutes. It made some decent money. Like, it has become just, it is critically acclaimed. It is like, you don't really hear much negative feedback about this movie or negative reviews. Like, it's, you know, now granted, I think the further away we get from it, the more stock it is. But I mean, this is the standard, right? Like, this, most of the tropes and most of the cyberpunk things we see now, like Blade Runner was kind of like the original, or any sort of, you know, William Gibson books, Neuromancer, things like that. These are like, those are like classic, like early, like golden age of cyberpunk. But then like this movie comes along and just kind of rewrites the book, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I mean, you can see it like from the opening credits, Chris. Like the inspiration that this movie like caused. I mean, even like the classic thing that you think the Matrix came up with, like the, you know, like the little digital, what's it called? Where it's like the black screen and you see like the green ring.
Oh, like the binary, like the zeros and ones and shit like that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of
like
what
the code, basically.
Yeah, like that's was made here. Like, it's just cool to see. I don't know, but it's definitely like, it still has like that cyberpunk feel. Although, like you said, it doesn't have all the neon lights and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's a very drab kind of, like, you don't really, you know, most of this movie takes place during the day, which is kind of wild. Like most cyberpunk movies, everything is, you know, bright neon lights. It's always raining. It's just, you know, the neon's offset against just like the blackness of night. But in this movie, Cody, we are just fucking just doing shit all day. We are not. We sleep at night in Ghost in the Shell.
We're working 9 to 5 here. Chris and
that's right.
Even like looking at some of the development stuff, I didn't know Mamoru Oshii, who directed this. Mm-hmm. He also is the writer of Jinro the Wolf Brigade.
Well, there you go. Didn't know. Look at that.
Maybe we mentioned that back then, and I just don't remember that. But
mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool because it looks like he also wanted to direct Jinro the Wolf Brigade.
Oh, that's really cool.
And ended up having to do this instead, which you know.
Oh no.
This movie is...
There are worse things.
Yeah, yeah. He still got to be the writer on Jinro, but, mm-hmm. you know, this ended up being like a phenomenon, you know, like a once-in-a-lifetime thing.
100%. But let's kind of dive into the story, Cody. Now, like I said, from a pacing standpoint, the movie has a really explosive introduction. We're introduced to our main character, Major Kutanagi. I'm probably saying that very... Kusanagi.
Kusanagi, yeah.
Yeah. Basically, she's outside of this, outside of this high-rise corporate building. And I'm just trying to think the right way to describe it, because there's something going on inside the building with two different governments and a tech, like a computer tech seeking political asylum out of Japan. Yeah, you don't really know what it's all about.
Yeah, it's just, they're saying big words. They seem like they're like high up politician type guys.
Yeah, like Vasta Stampede came in and told them all about plant science, and that's exactly what's happened here. But she is speaking to somebody on the comm. Apparently, like they're clearly on the job, and you don't really know what's going on. But you have these two people that are talking about, you know, well, we can't let him leave. You know, that's going to hurt relationships. But he's requested political asylum, yada yada yada. And the next thing we know, the major swings off the building and just fucking caps the guy right and just blows him away. Like one of those things like called Hot Fuzz. Is it true if there's a place where you shoot a man, his head will blow up? Because that's literally what happens. She fucking shoots this guy one shot between the eyes, and his head just fucking explodes.
Yeah, and it looks like, according to Wikipedia, he is a diplomat of a foreign country. Okay. And I believe he was... I don't know if he was the programmer. It says his name was Data.
Data?
He was going to defect and go off and, you know, probably spill the beans on whatever these high up guys are doing, because Chris, I don't know, it starts off a little political, and you know, mm-hmm. you know how we are with that stuff. We don't care about that.
Well, this movie is also a bunch of it's like a bunch of iconic set pieces that are just kind of loosely strung together. Because then she, you know, we watch her just kind of fade off of the building, and she's got like this really cool, like full body, like camouflage, like the Predator almost,
yeah.
which is really cool.
Yeah,
that's when we go into your favorite song.
Oh, is it this one? Is it this point? I think it might be. This might be the first choral fucking chanting.
Choral?
Yeah.
Because that's when like the numbers and like it's like an old clacky like.
Yeah, you get
that. That's really cool. Like the
music doesn't match what we're seeing on the screen. We're seeing like the Matrix rain. We're seeing, you know, how Kusanagi was. Like built basically almost definitely like paying homage to what I would say like Battle Angel Alita. Like we see like,
yes,
she's very like, she's almost, I can't, is she entirely cybernetic? I can't actually.
She is like 99% cybernetic. Like she does have some like muscle tissue, and basically what this, well, yes, because she has you know, that's kind of where the name comes from. Like the body we see of Major Kusanagi is literally just a shell, just a cybernetic body. But they carry like, what am I trying to say? Like, again, this, it gets a little over my head because I'm an old man sometimes, and like it gets a little heavy with the nonsense, but they can like transmit consciousnesses through like of people into these bodies. But like they can be hacked and be taken over and have false memories implanted, like almost Total Recall style. So it's pretty crazy. But Major Kusanagi is she's the leader of the basically the SWAT team for the Section 9 of the police department.
Yeah, and there's all different sections and things like that. And I guess real quick before we get too far ahead of ourselves, there's cyber brains in this world we live in. And it's basically a casing for the human brain. They can also access the internet, different networks. Like you said, they can also be that comes with. There's pros and cons. They can be hacked and controlled and all that stuff. And that's really what the ghost is, and then the shell being the body that they're.
The whole MacGuffin of this movie is they're looking for somebody who's basically hacking, who's hacking all of these different shells, because I think they're looking for, I forget what the puppet master is actually doing all these hackings for. It'll take me a second to get there. Like I said, this movie kind of goes all over the place. Or maybe I'm just old and dumb. But anyway. So we get our next set piece here is that they're following the trail of this puppet master. They have these two garbage men who are going to these different phones who are basically working for this person that we don't know who's on the other side of this thing. And they're going to these different phones and using these key cards and doing these. And they, the major and her partner, Bato, who's my favorite character in the movie, Bato's the bigger guy with the glasses, and there's a normal human cop that's riding with the major. I can't remember his name, and I feel awful for it.
We have Togusa, and I think I want to say Ishikawa is another one of the another member of their crew.
But they kind of figure out what's going on with this garbage man and these two garbage men in this truck, and they are now in hot pursuit. And things start to accelerate quickly, and the person that they were working with, they kind of catch up with them. But this guy, who also has his own little camouflage, has these crazy ballistic submachine gun bullets that destroys the van that Bato's in. And then from there, Cody, we have this crazy, I know I'm kind of blasting through it, but it's literally how quick this part goes. They catch up to him. The guy tries to escape. Bato gives chase in a really great scene, through the city. You get to see a lot of the little narrow nooks and crannies and markets and public areas of the city that they live in. And of course, like I said, this guy's got this big, duster with a hood that acts as that same camouflage that the major had in the beginning of the movie. So he actually gets away from Bato, but does not get away from the major. And then Cody, we have that iconic scene that they actually do recreate pretty nicely in the live action movie where the major just beats this dude's ass in the middle of this ravine,
there's water there.
A bridge, dam. I don't know what those things are called. But she basically just beats the shit out of this guy.
Yeah, she handily takes care of him.
And
I mean, this entire chase sequence from the chasing after the dump truck to them warning this guy that they're on the way. In my opinion, this is whenever I think of Ghost in the Shell, this is the scenes I think of.
Yes, 100%. This is the most iconic scene. When the major, it's also when the major kicks the dude and he fucking twists and fucking spins into the fucking water. That's some real kung fu movie shit. You know what I mean? So it's the iconic scene. Whenever you see a clip from Ghost in the Shell, that's always the one they give you.
It's actually funny, Chris. I saw the scene because I think they call the one dump truck driver calls, the guy he's working for, and they're all being controlled, of course, working for. I actually saw that clip on TikTok 2 weeks ago, and I just watched it, and it just plays out the fight scene at the end where obviously the major just beats ass. We can't do the animation here any justice, but it's great, and it's cool when she goes into her camouflage mode with the water below her. I don't know, it's just fucking, it looks great.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think because there's then there's a company that makes shells.
Well, like after this, they investigate. You know, they investigate the thug, the garbage man. Turns out
and that's when we find out the garbage man was like being hacked too, because like he has like a picture that he's like, it's me and my wife, you know, but it's like a picture of like him and his dog.
Yeah, it's like, dog, you don't even have a wife, you never did. And we heard him, you know, throughout this before the chase started, he's telling the other garbage man, he's like, yeah, you know, I got this, my wife and kid, and like, brother, not only were you hacked, they like, you have false memories and all of this shit, and like, damn.
And they say that like sometimes like the old memories will never return.
Yeah. Bad times. And then I think this is where we get our second interlude chant song here.
Your favorite. This is your favorite one.
This might be the part where we also see like the scene where we get some the scenes with Kusanagi and Bato where, you know, she's like diving underwater and all that stuff, you know.
Yeah, that's where they have like the drink some beers on the boat.
Yeah. You know, we get some more character development there. But eventually we get to find out about Megatech Body, who is a shell manufacturer, basically like a cyber body manufacturer. With close ties to the government. I want to say it's one of their shells gets hacked and symbols. I don't remember. Oh, this is the. He's not actually the Puppet Master, but he's the body that the Puppet Master like talks through.
They
like
communicate.
He's like the blonde-headed body. Ends up getting hit by a truck, and Section 9 ends up, you know, finding the shell and examining it. They find a human ghost inside of it, and that's when. We get to Section 6, which Section 6, we saw Chief Nakamura. I believe he's in the opening scene. Section 6 is there to reclaim this shell, and they claim that the Puppet Master, the actual Puppet Master, is inside of this thing. They lured it into this shell. I don't know. It's all very sus. Like, and it seems like the doctor who's working on it's like, like he can even tell it. He smells something fishy going on here.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Chris, before they go ahead.
No, please, go ahead.
Like, before they can even, like, make a decision on what to do with this thing, like, he just starts talking, activates himself, claims to be a sentient being, requests political asylum, and starts, you know, he starts just, you know, just monologuing about, like, what a human is, all this stuff.
Yeah, this is that big, like, self-aware, like, Can computers actually be like sentient, for lack of a better way to put it? Maybe that is the right way to put it.
It
goes a lot of existential, you know, like that classic like cyberpunk sci-fi rhetoric.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course, then now he's unplugged. He's just running on his own power source. Like, obviously, all the doctors and everybody's freaking out. And then it turns out the guy that walked in with Nakamura. You know, he uses the same camouflage that Kusanagi has, causes a big diversion to happen, and takes the shell, and plans to dip out. Luckily for our crew here, Kusanagi's team, I want to say it was Togusa or Ishikawa. I can't remember which one of the two it was, but he noticed that, like, when they first got there, it was like. And the parking garage that they have, like, there's, like, weights, and, like, he could tell that, like, the one weighed too much. Like, I don't know. There was some way he figured out that something fishy was up because he had, like, his shell weighed too much or something. I don't know. So he was already kind of, like, on to them doing something sketchy. And then, you know, chase ensues, Chris, after this guy that took the shell of the supposed puppet master. So...
By the way, we're coming up on like the end of the movie.
yeah. Very. It's like chasing interlude, chasing. All right, we're done.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so Kusanagi and her team, they start heading after them. Bato's in the car chasing him. Kusanagi's up in the helicopter. Meanwhile, the doctors and his team, they hear the shell mention this Project 2501, and so they start looking into that. And they find a connection with Data, the guy who was killed at the very beginning, and who Section 6 didn't want to leave the country, or to defect from the country. Like, it turns out he was involved in this, and it turns out that Section 6 actually created this Puppet Master as, like a political move, like, to use it for, like, you know, various reasons, and it ended up, like, becoming sentient and like escaping on its own and like controlling its own actions and things like that.
Very, very Skynet. Very, you know, classic sci-fi machines becoming smarter than the creators type of situation.
Yeah, definitely. And so basically Section 6 wants to recapture it and shut this shit down, and like clearly they fucked up.
Yes.
And so eventually Kusanagi follows this car to this, you know, this warehouse, this big building place. And, you know, engages, there's a big old spider tank thing there that's like on guard. Faces that. And, you know,
what an awesome fight scene, by the way.
It's
quick, but it's like you get to see like where the major tries to rip, like basically try to get inside the guts of the tank, and like you see her like her muscles kind of rippling trying to get the thing off, and then like her fucking like she just can't do it, and, like her arm just rips off just from the force.
Yeah, she basically like rips herself apart trying to take this tank apart. And doesn't succeed because she is down, like, you know, very akin to like the live action of Alita. Like, she is down for the count here, and then thankfully Bato shows up with the big ass gun.
With the fucking peacemaker, with the great equalizer, and just boom, boom, just crushes this fucking thing.
Yeah, takes care of the tank, and now it's just her and her broken body, and the puppet master and his broken body, and Bato,
and we're gonna merge their. Yeah. You're talking about like merging their ghosts together.
Yeah, she wants to connect to the puppet master, which of course they have those like plugs in the neck. Very, you know, the Matrix.
How Matrix of you?
Yeah, very Matrixy. Luckily, you know, the brothers that made the Matrix films, they pay homage to this film multiple times throughout it.
Absolutely.
But he connects them all up, and then basically, Chris, we kind of get that same, like, you know, he's talking about, like, the essence of life is reproduction and mortality, and he wants to exist within a physical brain, and eventually, you know, just this big sci-fi spiel. And eventually she, he notices that she's questioned her humanity, what she did when she was, like, in the swimming scene that we saw. She was kind of, like, wondering, like, what's, I don't know if purpose is a word, like what her purpose is. But she just kind of was questioning, like, humanity and stuff like that. So she agrees to merge their ghost, and, you know, she'll gain all of his capabilities, and, you know, they agree to merge, Chris. However, all of Section 6, they start to show up. You got snipers on the building. They destroy the puppet master's body. And if it wasn't for Bato protecting Kusanagi's head, she would have died also. But he sneaks out of there with her head. Obviously, her brain being intact. And we kind of wake up, you know, sometime later, and we got her in a new body.
A child's body, no less.
Yeah, and this is at Bato's safe house. And she basically tells Bato that, like, what resides in this body is no longer Kusanagi or the puppet master, but a combination of both. Mm-hmm. And, you know, promises that they'll meet again, and heads off.
And she goes, she just kind of goes outside and looks at the city, and is like, the internet's a real big place, and that's the last line of the movie.
Yeah, it's a very... I don't know, I hate that it's like so open like that. I wish there was more of a maybe like more of a finite ending, but you know, it leaves it open. Obviously, this film has spawned numerous sequels and series and remakes and live actions, and obviously it's inspired numerous sci-fi films. I just wish there was maybe I just wish there was more of a. I didn't want the final fight to be Kusanagi trying to pull apart a tank and just absolutely getting, like, just ripping her body to shreds to lose
that's
the fight.
Like, that's literally what I'm saying. Like, this movie is just three set pieces chained together. Like, that's all it is.
And they're, of course, they're all very, like, iconic.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah, it really, but, like, it's like the opening scene where she kills Data, the dump truck chase scene, and then this chase scene.
That's literally Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah, it is a good movie. Obviously we can't do the animation of these chase scenes really any justice.
No, not at all.
Yeah, I just wish there was more at the end there. And maybe, you know, I'm sure the sequels and all that stuff go into more. But I don't know. I just wanted her to get another sweet fight scene where she just beats ass, but she just loses to a fucking robot tank. And then Bato, the true hero of the movie.
That's right. The side character Hall of Fame first ballot.
Yeah, he might just be a main character, unfortunately.
Yeah. It's
but
true.
If he was not, you know.
The guy driving the truck in that scene is the side character.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. Yeah, that's Ghost in the Shell.
I said not really much to it. Like really, like in 2023, it's a very paper thin kind of movie. Like it just is. But it's one of those things that you have to watch it and you can just see everything that had been inspired by it. Like you can just see traces of everything inside of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because I mean, like even I mean the everything for the Matrix is inspired by this. Like the Wachowski brothers,
100%.
Like they have the holes in the neck where they plug in and they can dive into other ghosts and they can, you know, we got the fucking raining numbers in green. Like guys, you should have just remade Ghost in the Shell. You didn't. I mean, the Matrix movies are great. Don't get me wrong, but
yeah,
you know, you probably could have just. I feel like they didn't have any original ideas, but you know, maybe that's a hot take. And James Cameron has been inspired for it, and he used a lot of these things, you know, or inspirations when he made Avatar.
That's true. That is very, very true. Yeah, a lot of this consciousness inhabiting another body. I mean, you can literally trace all of that back to Ghost in the Shell. Well, you could probably trace it a little further back into like other like sci. I want to say literally that's what Neuromancer is about.
Yeah, I think there's a few other ones that you could also like throw into that pool of like, you know, the ones that inspired everything else. Yeah, I think as a film, like what this film did for anime is huge. It's just, you know, looking back at it now, it might not be like the best movie as a whole, but you know, I'm okay.
Yeah, it's invited to the cookout just because it's, you know, it's,
oh yeah, absolutely,
it's the reason they're all there.
Yeah, Chris. With that being said, where do you want to put Ghost in the Shell on your rankings? I can send you your ranking list if you need it.
Oh, I've got it right here. It's going to go right under My Hero Academia 2 Heroes, and right above Jinro the Wolf Brigade is my new number 23.
23, yeah. Yep. Add that in there, right above Jinro. You know, those two movies have some history together. Obviously,
exactly.
Mamoru Oshii working on both those. All right, let me look at my rankings here. Where am I gonna throw this? Oh, this is tough, man. These middle of the pack ones always make it difficult.
Oh, I'm telling you, man. Because it's such a crowded space there in the middle. But it's the spot on the list where, like, the good movies are. Like, these are good movies.
Yeah, I mean, where I'm looking at putting it, it's by, you know, the good My Hero movies, Vampire Hunter D, Bloodlust, Jinro, like, they're all, like, these are all movies, yep, I would gladly watch again. Man, this is tough. I think I do like this more than the animated Jinro as well.
Oh, nice.
But of course, Jinro also had those interlude moments that I didn't really like. I'm going to put this... Is Two Heroes the one with the pose?
I think Two Heroes is the second one. I always get those two mixed up.
No. Two Heroes is not the second one. Two Heroes is the first.
Yeah, two Heroes is the one with the pose, brother. That is the one with the
two Heroes. Yeah. Heroes Rising is the one with the two heroes. Ironically enough, yes. You know, it's very. But, you know, this will be
that's why I get them confused.
Exactly, yeah. This is going to be my new number 19. It is below Two Heroes and above General of the Wolf Brigade. Obviously, our rankings are a little bit different there.
Mm-hmm. But it's funny that we kind of sandwiched them into the exact same place.
Yeah, right by the same two movies. It's just I have those movies a little bit higher on my list. Yeah, I mean, it's just a fantastic, like, it's just a solid movie. Not in my top 10, of course, but, you know, it's definitely, it's above Afro Samurai Resurrection, which is where, you know, below that is where things get a little squirrely. yeah, just a solid watch, something that I think every anime fan should watch.
Yeah, I agree.
And Chris, you know, we're also going to cover the live action, which, you know,
yeah,
we've talked about it before. I saw it in theaters. I fell asleep during it. Not because the movie's bad, just because, you know, theaters are very comfortable. It's a great place to take a nap.
You get cozy and the lights go out and it's just...
Plus, you know, Chris, we got reclining seats. It's a dangerous place to be, you know?
I'm telling you. You just get too cozy. All you need is a blanket and you're all set.
Yeah, so that's what we're going to cover next week. And also, Chris, we have a poll that we're going to be putting up.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to go through your nominations for this week?
Yes. So my two, I'm going with the Katsuhiro Tomo Classic. I'm going with Steam Boy.
Love that.
Which you can actually watch for free on YouTube.
Oh, even we love it, Chris. Yeah. If it's for free.
It's for me. Right. Again, we're talking very like we're going from cyberpunk to steampunk, which is kind of funny. And then my other one, you know, with the season 3 of The Witcher releasing today, Cody, why not look at the anime companion piece that they had about it takes place. It's like a prequel that takes place much, much earlier. And it's an animated movie. It's very, very good. It's very solid. Does the Witcher lore justice? So that those are, it's called The Witcher: Nightmare of the Wolf.
Ooh, I didn't even know Witcher season 3 was out. That explains why Netflix like popped it up on my home screen. I was like, oh, what's this? I don't follow The Witcher, but I'm down. You know, any anime, I'm always down to watch. So.
Yeah, which is kind of funny. If you've never watched the original Witcher, like starting with that's actually a pretty solid place to start.
Okay, cool.
With the anime, so.
Awesome. Well, for me, Chris, I'm going with two Satoshi Kon films this week.
Oh, man.
Running Back Paprika. And then, you know, Millennium Actress. I've given the Millennium Actress enough chances on these damn polls. So, take a back seat. We're popping in Tokyo Godfathers as my second choice. Yeah, never seen either one of those. The only Satoshi Kon film I've seen is Perfect Blue, and that was only because of this podcast, so I'm going to go ahead and get through, try to get through some of his films. I know he only has four, and unfortunately. But yeah, those are our nominations for this week. Once again, The Witcher, Nightmare of the Wolf, Steam Boy, Paprika, and Tokyo Godfather.
All solid choices.
I'm excited for any of those. I haven't seen Steam Boy in a long time.
It's been a long time for myself.
and then the other three I haven't seen ever. So should be a good time. So if you guys want to vote, head over to our Twitter page, just at Shonen and Suds. You'll see our logo. Drop us some votes and look forward to the fifth entry in the Side Character Hall of Fame, Chris.
Yeah, ready.
I can't wait to fucking write that up. We got some decisions to be made, Chris. We have 3 years of watching anime, and then we'll each only pick two side characters.
That's tough.
That is
quite difficult.
That is difficult indeed, but we will figure it out, and we will get our first year, the annual. This is going to be a yearly thing now.
That's right. The inaugural class coming in hot.
Yeah, and then once again, of course, we are watching Ghost in the Shell live action, so if you guys haven't seen it, be sure to check it out and tune in next week when we review that. Chris, that's all I got. My twisted teas are empty here. I got empty cans.
Oh man, well, I'm an empty margarita glass, and I am ready for more.
Exactly. Well, you guys, everybody, have a happy and safe 4th of July weekend, and we will see you next week. I am Cody Snodgrass.
And I am Chris Adams, and kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.